Just gonna take a bit of a breather, because yeah, I'm actually really nervous about really nervous this evening about doing this share, even though, you know, I understand the spirit of why we do these things. And I guess the truth is, like, I recently passed 5 years sobriety, and while that's great and everything, I have definitely been in what I guess I would call a bit of an emotional kind of rock bottom, or an emotional, yeah, kind of an emotional rock bottom over the last few weeks. And yeah, I'm just really grateful for the opportunity, actually, Jan, that you did message me to actually come on and share here today, because like last week I really wasn't in a great place. And I guess it just kind of speaks to the idea of recovery a day at a time, and how things can and do get better. So I am really grateful to be here, and I'm really grateful for everyone's service in the meeting. And you know, when I got my 5 years a few weeks ago, I went to a face-to-face meeting. It was an AA meeting, and I was at a speaker meeting there, and it really made me think about how actually I have almost, which is a pattern in my own behavior in my own life, I've kind of dissociated a little bit from my own recovery, and my kind of recovery routine has become a bit isolated. And yeah, it's just made me really kind of come full circle around how I definitely can't recover alone. And so yeah, kind of really good to be here in that respect as well. And when I was at that meeting, you know, it really made me think about my own story, and that I hadn't shared my own story in a really long time, that I hadn't really been working my program necessarily with anybody or with any great kind of consistency. So yeah, again, just yeah, really grateful. Kind of, I just feel like, you know, these kind of opportunities are being put in front of me for a very good reason, and you know, just to say yes to them. So yeah, really grateful for that. So where will I start? Yeah. I guess maybe the first thing maybe to start with is that, you know, I was definitely no stranger to alcoholism. I would have considered myself very expert in alcoholism, although not really expert in my own kind of dysfunction with it. There was a lot of dysfunction in my home growing up, and yeah, I kind of thought I knew all there was to know about alcohol, but that it was never really going to get me, because, you know, how could it when I knew so much, you know? But I also realized that I have a great pattern for geographicals, and that has definitely been a pattern my whole life. You know, like I would take off and move somewhere, and things would basically, the ass would fall out of things for me, and I would move somewhere else. And you know, the truth is, I actually came into the rooms of AA over 20 years ago. And it was in Australia. I went to a meeting in Footscray in Melbourne, just after my 21st. And I really clearly remember the meeting, you know, just like it was yesterday. There were like three guys there, and like, to me, when I was 21, I mean, they were my age, they were the age I am now, but sure, I thought they were all out lads. And I was like, oh Jesus, what am I doing in this place, you know? And there was just the three of them. It was in this block of flats, and I, like, they said to me, you know, like, do you want to pick a theme for the meeting? And I was like, God, you know, maybe like sink or swim, because that's really what I feel like. You know, I feel like if things don't change like soon, you know, like that's it for me. And they were asking me like, oh, why sink or swim or whatever. And I kind of burst into tears, and I'd said how I'd left Ireland, and you know, I really thought that things were going to be different moving away, but it seems like, you know, it seems like everything just keeps following me, and I keep getting myself in the same kind of, you know, trouble or whatever. And I just remember one of them saying to me, you know, the trouble with going away is you have to bring yourself with you, you know, and a real penny dropped there for me. But the kind of thinking that I had then was, you know, a lot of it came from my not enoughness. You know, I have a very hard time with my own not enoughness, and even in that, I didn't really feel like I was enough of an alcoholic, you know. So I was like, ah, no, Like, I'll come back to this some other time and I'll go on out, create a load more carnage in my life until I really have to do something about it. That was actually my mentality. And so I did go back out for another like 20 years, and I didn't come back into recovery until just after my 41st birthday or so. And I still have a big kind of emotional hangover around that, you know, like I perceive the gap in between as this big, vast waste of life. And it's something I'm really trying to reconcile with myself in my own kind of living amends to myself. And that's hard, you know, I find that really, really quite difficult. I don't think I'm going to go into a whole load of stories with you about my drinking. You know, we all have them. They're not dissimilar to anybody else's, you know. I'm not going to tell you anything that you probably haven't experienced or done yourselves. So no kind of juicy gossip there. But like, you know, one of my big barriers to coming into recovery was my arrogance, kind of thinking that I knew it all, and you know, thinking, you know, what could I possibly learn about alcoholism, considering I grew up around so much of it. And I also really felt like, oh, you know, I just do not need to sit around a room telling people about all my horror stories from drinking. And, you know, the person that really did get me into recovery basically said to me, they were like, you know, they worked a Narcotics Anonymous program. And they'd said to me, you know, in NA, we don't really talk about the drug taking or the drinking. We talk about the ism, you know, we talk about the behavior. And that really got me, you know, I was like, okay, like that I could give a go. And so, yeah, so I went, and I think as well, I had a really big fear of, you know, something being wrong with me. You know, I was very pathologized as a child, like, you know, a lot of like, my perception is that, you know, the wanting for something to be desperately wrong with me, not me, but my parents would have wanted that, and, you know, kind of been delighted that you were messing up. And so, yeah, I had this kind of, you know, this, I don't know, fear or, you know, maybe resentment of being pathologized or, you know, being labeled as something. And I think one of the things that I've really learned in my own recovery journey is, you know, yeah, I have a drinking problem, but, you know, being an alcoholic is not all that I am. It's actually not all that I am. And I guess I don't also really subscribe to a disease model of alcoholism. Like, I've kind of come to understand myself as a traumatized person and had very normal responses to things that happened in my life to cope with those. And, you know, that actually addiction is a normal response to some of those things. And that's not to excuse my behavior, it does explain some of it. But it also helps me kind of give myself some kind of compassion around my own recovery and, you know, sort out my onions from my shallots around like my part in things, you know. And that's been very important for me because that can be very grey, a very grey space for me. And I think as well, like some of the barriers in the beginning to my own recovery was this, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, denial, denying being an alcoholic. Like, I really never denied I had a drinking problem. If anything, you know, the way I look at denial is, you know, not allowing myself something. So, like, I had so much self-sabotage that I wouldn't even allow myself recover. And also a lot of permission seeking, you know, like I really didn't have any agency or autonomy in my own life or felt that way anyway. And so I would like act out in very sabotaging ways and almost be like really willing people to pay attention to how I was behaving and what kind of shit I was getting myself into. And like nobody kind of called time on it with me. I know it's not their responsibility, but like that was a real kind of get out of jail free card for me. And so I kind of continued in that vein. So yeah, denial, like I wasn't denying I had a problem, but it's just like, no, you know, you don't get to recover. You don't get to have what other people have. So I definitely would have I've definitely identified that as kind of barrier in my early recovery. And this idea of really not knowing if I'm allowed to recover, do I get the same access to everybody else who gets a good life, let's say, in inverted commas. So really feeling like I didn't have any rights or entitlements or permission to really exist properly in the world. And I've also done a lot of work, I suppose, around where that's come from. Like, I come from a family of five girls, but actually I was lied to, or maybe lied to is too harsh, but my identity was kept from me until I actually myself worked it out. And then the truth was told to me about, where I'd come from and who I was, yaddy yaddy yaddy. And yeah, I do think that I think that that has that impacted me kind of greatly, like really not having a solid, like anchored sense of self or identity, or really knowing who I was, And like, I didn't even have a value system. I didn't really understand a value system until I came into recovery. And actually what I've done is, and what I've done is I adopted my value system from the long version of the Serenity Prayer. That's basically where my value system comes from and where it stemmed from now, like the idea of like serenity, courage, patience, tolerance, appreciation, acceptance, love, hope, wisdom, all of those, like, for me, what are values that come up in the Serenity Prayer? Like, that's really where I've had to start from, kind of creating, like, what am I actually about, So, like, I didn't really have any wild big bottom, and I think that's an important thing for people in early recovery also to hear about, especially if they may suffer from the same kind of not enoughness. You don't need to have a big drama to get yourself clean. And I didn't really have that. I do identify, in AA, maybe people talk about the gift of desperation, and I really had gotten to that point. Like, I really disliked myself when I was sober, but I hated myself when I was drinking. And like, alcohol had just really become the common denominator between where my life always was and where I always wanted my life to be. And I think what I've since learned about that is, sorry if it's very deep, but it's this kind of like return to myself, like and I still suffer it. Like, I can still find other ways to basically try to get away from myself, to try and be anybody or anything that is not actually me myself. I can still do that. And at that time, drinking was the solution, like, that's what I did to escape myself and my life. What else? Yeah, so I got into recovery just at the beginning of the pandemic. I had been displaced from China and I was returning there. So, like, I actually had a really nice, soft kind of start to recovery because I was in a lockdown anyway, and I was able to attend meetings online. And so in those early days, like, that was, that really helped me kind of really, like, firmly sort of embed, just a good kind of solid routine, in my own kind of program at that time. But what's my kind of recovery now? What is it about? I suppose, like, I don't necessarily identify with hugely having a massive drinking problem, but I do have like an emotional sobriety problem. So that's kind of where my real work is now, really trying to like live in a way that is, I don't know, like, serene, and is, helping me to just show up as the best version of myself, or at least, in a truthful way, like no matter what that looks like, you know? And so just trying to be really honest and like truthful in my sobriety. You know, they have that expression, like the best thing about getting sober is, you know, the best thing about getting sober is you get your feelings back, and the worst thing about getting sober is you get your feelings back. And like I really related with that, you know, and I think where I'm at now, like, and this is something that's only really come to me, I'd say, like in the last fortnight, which is why I feel so kind of like, it's no coincidence really that like Jan's asked me to kind of speak this evening, because it's just making me really kind of reinvigorate and maybe rethink my own recovery and where is my recovery at. And I think one of the big things that has come up for me is like a lot of my recovery today, it's about grief and it's about loss and you know, pinpointing those like big losses and little losses. Like I did have a very big loss during my time using, and I tend to think, oh, that's the thing I'm supposed to focus on, you know, the loss of this person. And sometimes I feel very disconnected from that, you know, I'm just like, I have no feelings. I don't want to go. I have no feelings. I don't want to go there. Obviously, I do have feelings. But like my kind of recovery work now, it's in the small losses. It's in pinpointing those small losses, you know, and why did I drink in the first instance? And like, why did I want to escape all of those things? And so, yeah, like that's, yeah, that's difficult. It's difficult work, you know, like, those losses also include like my perception and kind of getting right sized about those things, you know, about like harm that I either did or did not, or that I am or am not responsible for. Even that perception of having wasted my life, I have a terrible hangover about this idea that I have wasted the last 20 years of my life. And again, like it comes back to a lot of that kind of not enoughness, you know? And so maybe some people in the meeting today, I guess, will know these things about me, but like I came back to Ireland about nearly 2 years ago, and it's really been like, I describe it as like living on a life raft. It's been a really, really big struggle for me. And I'm always looking for all the time, like, what is the lesson? What is the lesson? I'm learning loads of lessons all the time, but like, when does the dust settle? Or like, when do I get anchored? Or what's it all about, you know? And I think I've just really, in just recent days, just come around to the idea that, like, why have I come home? I think I've come home to heal. I think that's why I'm back here. And because everything else in my life just spells it's so easy for me to go on a geographical, you know, like that's my absolute like instant thing to want to do. It's just like, this is shit, cut your losses, move on, you know. And I definitely think, even though this is, it's hard, I find it very, very difficult being at home and everything that it entails. Like, I definitely think there's a truth in that, you know, this idea that I have actually come home to heal. And it's also making me really think about like my powerlessness, you know, like I am powerless. I am powerless over my addiction, and I'm powerless over drinking. And for sure, I know that, but I'm not powerless over my recovery. And I'm not powerless over like, you know, how I show up in the world and what I'm doing in the world, you know? And I guess I kind of really see that, like, is it a paradox? Or I don't know if that's the right word, but like the more control I relinquish, the more serenity I get. And, you know, when I continue to try and run the show, I'm addled. I'm really addled. And so that's a big lesson for me, just constantly having to like let things go, surrender and whatnot. So I'm kind of working on that. But I also see like They talk about alcoholism as a progressive disease, but I also think recovery is progressive as well. And I think, my own recovery, I don't always see it. I think I'm going to be like, that cartoon, The Jetsons, where they get up in the morning and they get into the shower and they just come out the other side. I think that's what I'm supposed to get. I'm like, come on, where's the new person? I am this, refined person and everything is different and I leave everything behind me. But like, it's really just not like that. And I forget sometimes, that. Okay, the disease of alcoholism is a progressive disease, but also my recovery is progressive and it's incremental and it's cumulative and it builds up and it's every day and it's, small by small, small little, steps. So I'm kind of trying to hang on to that and, and to remember, like, yeah, I'm powerless over many things, but I do have what's been returned to me that I never felt I ever had. Is like agency and autonomy. And I do have those things in my life, like I do have a good sense of agency. I can make good choices in my life. And you know what? By and large, I have made good choices for sure. They haven't all worked out, yaddy yaddy. But I definitely, yeah, like I've definitely got good choices. I've definitely got good agency in my life. And yeah, I'm kind of carving out like a life that I never thought. I just never thought that people like me, in inverted commas, could ever get. And so, yeah, like that's probably one of the bigger things that kind of sobriety's brought for me, I know that I could never be doing what I'm doing now if I hadn't gotten alcohol in particular out of my life. But it is true to say that like it's not just about the drinking. It's great that that goes, but like I have to do the work everywhere else. Have to do the work everywhere else too. So I don't know, like I guess that's it really, just the idea of drinking was the problem and recovery is the solution. And I'm really just trying each day to work in that solution. And I definitely have days where the ass falls out of that too. But I also think that's really important for people to hear. Because yeah, it can be hard, but it's also totally worth it. I feel like I've been really negative. And I'm just gonna stop there. And that's me. I'm done. Pass.